In this season after Easter, as we continue to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, we've been exploring the theme, Who Belongs? Today we turn to the book of Acts for some answers. The Acts of the Apostles, as the full title reads, tells of the very beginning of the church. It begins with Jesus' last appearance to his disciples after his resurrection. And he tells them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We then witness the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit in the next chapter of Acts. And as the people head out to begin preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, their stories are recorded in Acts. So we read about folks like Stephen and Philip and Paul and Peter, as well as others. Listen as we hear about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and God's Spirit at work from Acts chapter 8. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. And seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go over to this chariot and join it. So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he replied, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearers, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or somebody else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As this story opens, an angel of the Lord tells Philip to head out to Jerusalem. It echoes Jesus' call to be his witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. earth, which came earlier. Philip heads out of Jerusalem towards Gaza, which means into the desert. While it isn't quite the end of the world, Philip meets someone that can see it from his home, an Ethiopian eunuch. For Ethiopia at the time referred to all the land past Egypt. As a eunuch, this man was probably castrated as a young boy and therefore seen to be safe in the ruler's palace. He's riding in his chariot, returning from Jerusalem, where he has made a pilgrimage in order to worship. And as he travels, he's reading Isaiah. Now here is a man with a royal job in a worldly court who could have gotten the impression from the Bible that he was unwelcome in God's court. For Deuteronomy 23 says, "Make it plain that no one who is sexually mutilated shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord." It's a good thing that the eunuch was reading Isaiah instead. Isaiah gives a more hopeful word from God. Isaiah announces in chapter 11 that God will recover the remnant that is left of his people from Ethiopia. And in chapter 56, which comes after the section that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, God promises that eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths will be welcome in the house of God and will receive a name better than sons and daughters. So which is it? Is he to believe Deuteronomy, or is he to believe Isaiah? Is he in or is he out? Is he welcome into the household of God or not? Does he belong? Now, if the eunuch had only the written words of Scripture, it could be argued either way, Deuteronomy, Isaiah. How can this man know what is true? How can he understand unless someone guides him? What he needs is someone who not only knows Scripture, but also knows the God of Scripture. He needs someone to teach him who has felt the embrace of God, who can read the cold ink on the page in the warm light of God's Spirit. He needs, as all of us do, a Philip to guide him. The Ethiopian shows hospitality and invites Philip to get in his chariot and sit beside him. Preacher Barbara Brown Taylor draws a modern parallel. Imagine a diplomat in Washington, D.C., inviting a street preacher to join him in his late model Lexus for a little Bible study. The eunuch has been reading the passage in Isaiah 53 that describes someone who, like a sheep, was led to slaughter and whose humiliation justice was denied. The eunuch asks Philip, "About whom is the prophet speaking, himself or someone else? Is this only about Isaiah and his situation? Or is this a passage for me as well? Is this a word from God for someone else? Or is this God's word for me?" As a eunuch, he would know full well about humiliation and justice denied. And he was wondering if God was speaking to him and to his own experience as being an outcast in Israel. As preacher Tom Long points out, the biblical word is never merely about back then. It is always a word to us, to this moment, to these circumstances. Philip explains this passage. It points to Jesus and is also a word from God to the Ethiopian. Not only does God know and understand the eunuch's experience of being humiliated and ostracized religiously, but Jesus himself took on that lowly and outcast state. What Isaiah says, Philip tells the eunuch, has not only to do with you, but also with Jesus, who himself was like a sheep led to the slaughter, and who was himself humiliated and denied justice. But in Jesus, and for all who follow him, this stony road of suffering is transformed into a highway of exaltation. For Isaiah proclaims, out of his anguish, he shall see light. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous. When the eunuch's story of shame is viewed through the story of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, it becomes a narrative of redemption, of restoration, and of hope. Philip sits and gently guides the eunuch to faith in Christ. We sometimes hear it said that we need to lead people to Christ. Now, this might be the case sometimes, but usually, especially in today's world, a better metaphor is that of midwife. As a midwife, we simply assist in what is a natural process, starting with belonging and moving toward belief as the Spirit leads. As the Spirit led Philip, so the Spirit moves the eunuch to ask when he sees the water along a desert road, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He is excited about becoming a follower of Christ. Perhaps by this point in their journey, Philip and the eunuch have gotten to and read chapter 56 of Isaiah, and the eunuch knows he belongs. What's to prevent him from being baptized? Well, there are quite a few things that could serve as roadblocks that people have thrown up in front of him to prevent the eunuch from being baptized. He was living in Ethiopia, for one thing, so he was cut off from the land of Israel. He was a eunuch, and thus in violation of the purity code. He was a member of a cabinet of the Queen of Ethiopia, therefore loyal to the wrong sovereign. He belonged to the wrong nation, held the wrong job, and possessed the wrong sexuality. But Philip heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak a different answer to the man's question. "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" asked the eunuch. "Absolutely nothing. You belong," whispered the Spirit. And Philip replied, "Absolutely nothing. You belong." So the eunuch commanded the chariot to stop, and he was baptized right on the spot, and walls of prejudice and prohibition that had stood for generations came tumbling down, blown down by the breath of God's Holy Spirit. And another person who felt lost and humiliated was found and restored in the wideness of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Our society is filled with people who are curious about God, people who are interested in exploring faith and have lots of questions. But they don't seem to find themselves in a sanctuary on Sunday mornings. We need to be looking for them out there. I urge you to be ready to accept an invite to hop into someone's chariot and share what you've experienced. Tell them that they do belong to God, regardless of how unusual they may consider themselves or how unusual society may consider them. Invite them to come here with you. Tell them that we have water and there is nothing to prevent them from being baptized.